If hitting a baseball is one of the hardest things to do in professional sports, how about trying to do it when you can't see the ball? You're going to learn all about Beep Baseball today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. Fellas, what's going on?
What's going on, Evan?
What's up, Evan?
Okay, first off, I am fired up for today's episode because Isaac told me about something that I've never heard about before. This is what I love about the show. You guys tell me about something that's going on in our community and the disability community. This one in particular blew my whole mind. It's a sport that I didn't know about that was created for people with visual impairments. Isaac, your mom has been visually impaired since she was a child. Beep ball. I didn't know what beep ball was. But you told me about this sport. You sent me down a rabbit hole on YouTube. I started watching clips. My mind was blown. This is an unbelievable sport. And it kind of is what it sounds like. It's a ball that beeps and it's baseball. And people that are visually impaired, they play baseball and they hear the beeping of the ball and they play. And it's blown me away. And you were talking about how you know somebody who's heavily involved in the community. His name is Jason Frazier, former ESPN producer, who has dedicated his life to serving people with visual disabilities. And now he's also a coach of a beatball team. I'm sorry, I'm so excited. I was like knocking my headphones off. He's a coach of a beatball team. He is the perfect person to have on our show right now to talk about this, talk about the sport, how involved he is in the sport, where the sport is going. Jason, welcome to Driven by Purpose.
Welcome, Jason.
Man, what's up, Jason?
As you can tell, Evan's very excited about you.
I love it. I love it. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to learn more. Like, I'm very excited about this, having you on, learning about the sport. Tell me everything.
I mean, beatball is kind of, so here's the thing. I kind of had the same introduction that you had to beat baseball, even though when I graduated, I'm going to make the story short, but I'm going to try to get there. So when I graduated, I started out at 101 ESPN here in St. Louis. I needed a secondary job, which put me at Mind's Eye Radio, which I'm now still at here today and present CEO of. And one of the things they first introduced me to about Mind's, they did a once a year fundraiser, which was Beat Baseball. So they would, just companies play, there was visually impaired teams, but it was more like a fundraiser. And when they had described it to me, the first thing I thought of, being someone who's always been interested in sports, always followed sports, of baseball, how does that work? Because, we always have these things.
Yeah.
See the ball, hit the ball, look the ball into your glove. All those visual elements we're told about the sport of baseball. And I saw it out there. So when I first saw Beat Baseball, it was a bunch of sighted people like us, mainly, hitting the ball and running to the base like a zombie, basically zombie walking to the base. It looked like they were trying to get away from somebody in The Walking Dead. So it wasn't that impressive. But it was still interesting. And then, fast forward, we got into the national beat baseball landscape, and it's totally mind-blowing because you're seeing guys who are running to a base blindfolded in 4 seconds, hitting a ball like clockwork. There's guys, some of the batting averages for this thing is like, remember you play video games, you have that 800 batting average, and you're like, man, that's only video game-esque. That's beat baseball for some of these guys. They had those video game batting averages each year. So you're seeing pinnacle of the sport. So it's very fascinating to be a part of. And we'll get into more, but I've just learned so much about not only the sport, but also just the people who play it.
Wait, a quick question, Jason. So the introduction to beat baseball that you're talking about, where the people were running to the base in like 4 seconds, are these sighted people who were blindfolded, or are these blind and visually impaired people?
So when I got introduced, it was a fundraiser. So these were the sighted people. They were zombie walking. It was 11
seconds. Got it.
11 seconds was probably generous on some of these base times. Now when you have the visually impaired people, there's 4 seconds, 4 to 5. Some of them were, you know, 6'7", but even 6'7" is considered more, we would say, a slow base runner in beat baseball. And I, like when I said, I came from watching the recreational side of it, and the bases at the recreational tournament were 70 feet in beat baseball in the national, over there 100 feet away. So that was even more astounding. You're seeing kind of what you're seeing with the sport now from that level.
Yeah, but I got to say, that doesn't surprise me, because when we look at Clean Logic, we have some of our workers, our sewing workers, are the best sewers, and they're totally blind. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to watch them work. So it doesn't surprise me what you're saying about the players.
No, you just have some tremendous athletes. I always joke with them. I say, you know, there's athletes in every sport. Like, you have Steph Curry, who shoots three-pointers. You have, you know, I'll use an Eagles player, even though I've hinted that I'm not a big Eagles fan. I know my audience, but I'm still going to,
I probably Eagles are still good, and there's a lot of great Eagles players as well, so feel free.
I probably should use this player, but you have Jalen Hurts, can throw a ball sometimes accurately to the right team.
I like that.
But they can do those things, they've been trained. I said, I guarantee I can teach some of the athletes who play beat baseball how to do those things consistently. I doubt I could teach an athlete who plays, Jalen Hurts or Steph Curry, how to play beat baseball in a quick manner. I've seen it. We've had professional athletes actually come out and play beat baseball in that recreational tournament. We've had them come out, actually former professional baseball players. I saw a guy hit with the late, great Chris Duncan, who used to play for the Cardinals, and his dad was a pitching coach for the majors. He came out and played a beat baseball tournament. We did the recreational. When he hit a ball, as far as I've ever seen someone hit a beat baseball, still to this day, he didn't make it to the base in time. He still didn't make it.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Jason.
So let me interrupt you for a second, because, all right, one of the hardest things to do in all of sports is to hit a baseball. Everybody knows this. Like, you hear professional athletes, two-sport athletes, three-sport athletes, they always say this. Like, I've heard Deion Sanders say this. One of the hardest things to do, he's played every sport, is hit a baseball. So to hit a beat baseball where you can't see it coming and you have to really depend on your ears, your hearing, because the baseball is equipped with a speaker. Am I correct?
Yes.
And it's a loud beep. And the pitcher is how far away is the pitcher from home plate, from the batter?
20 feet.
Okay. And it's coming at you, and you can hear the beep from the moment that the pitcher has it in his or her hand, from the moment it's released. And obviously the beep becomes louder to the hitter once it becomes closer. And the hitter, that person's job is, you have to gauge where the ball is, not only the distance it is from you as it gets closer, but also where it is in the y-axis as well. So not only like where to swing your bat. So not only like when to swing, but where to swing. These are two extremely difficult things to do when you are sighted, let alone when you are solely depending on your hearing, and you've got to make contact. And then to the point that you were just making, Jason, even if you do make contact with the beat baseball, even if you are able to align your physical, your ability to swing your bat, and you align it with your hearing senses and you make contact, then you have to refocus your body to find first base. And if I recall correctly, first base, all the bases, they vibrate.
Yeah. So the thing with the pitchers actually are a key part of this, because they actually can, the pitchers are sighted. Your batter typically is using their cadence and not necessarily the sound of the ball. So they'll say set, ready, pitch. Like I said, hopefully not too many teams listen to this. Our batters will do a timing video, and we create a timing video for our batters to kind of sync up the timing for the pitcher so they can use it when they're at home. So that way they're working on their timing of when the pitcher should have the ball to the plate or when they should start their swings. So that's the one part of it that helps out, because when we practice, when the pitchers are practicing, we're using dead balls. We're using balls that don't have any sound. There's no sound to the ball, so they're just concentrating the pitcher's cadence. But that's a lot of dedication. You got to figure out your timing. Also, the pitcher wants to try to manipulate the ball from the hit the other way. They got to figure out a different timing for that. It's a lot that goes to it. So you also got to give some love to your pitchers. So the best pitcher in beat baseball right now is a guy named Jared Woodard. He pitches for the Indianapolis Thunder. He's been pitching since he was 12 years old. He's now in his 30s. His dad is still a player.
His whole family is involved. His uncle's an umpire. That's one thing you'll find about b-ball, is kind of a family sport. But Jared's contact percentage was 93%. That means he only struck out 7% of batters at the World Series. And he routinely around 7%, only that contact percentage every year since he's been pitching, pretty much, since he's been a teenager. He's now 30 plus. He's in his 30s. So
that's amazing.
The next closest guy was 89, which is Mike Curtis, a pitcher for our team. And then you get some pitchers in the 50s, but you kind of see where the drop off goes for the team.
Now, Jason, good pitcher. Jason, I think what we should do is explain, because I'm pretty familiar with people, and you know, you had the World Series a couple years ago. Can you give us just what beatball looks like in America? I mean, is it like, I remember my mom joined a team, but it wasn't like how you talked about it, where they're going to the World Series. But I remember it was at Udall Park in Tucson, and my mom, it was more like our Tucson Association of Blind. It was organized, you know, so it's from what I remember as a child, because my mom didn't do it for many years, but it was just something to get involved with the community and in her Tucson Association for the Blind at the time. But then it was like, it sounds like it's evolved to really, there's leagues, there's players now. Like, I don't think it was what it was. And maybe I just didn't see that as a child. So can you give us the lay of the land and even how you were involved with the World Series and when you guys hosted it?
So like, we've been around. So the mind's eye, we used to do our beatball fundraiser. We got into the NBBA circuit about 6 years ago. We got approached. Someone said, hey, you do a fundraising tournament every year. How about you take a team nationally to the World Series? At first I said no, but my heart being a sports guy, I was like, yeah, I really want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should. And then we said, hey, we're going to get into this and just dip our toe in. We'll do the World Series only. And at that time, the sport only had like the World Series, and there was two or three regional tournaments. This is about 2020, 2021. Now, to kind of give you an idea of how that landscape has changed since we've been in there, there's about 8 to 9 regional tournaments. We host 3 regional tournaments ourselves. You know, we host one in Vegas. We host one in, this year we'll be hosting one in Puerto Rico for the first time. And we also now, usually we host a regional or something in St. Louis. But we have, this sport has evolved. There's more opportunities to play. There's more teams. There's teams that come all the way over, not only in the United States, but we have teams from Texas and the East Coast. And, you know, the Midwest, but also you have a team this year that came from Taiwan. There's a team that's now trying to make their way from Puerto Rico. So it's not just a national landscape. You're seeing international growth in the sport. Also now probably the thing that's added too, in addition to the regionals, is now there's an all-star event, which now we call the Ultimate Beat Baseball Tournament, which we hosted
on the
East Coast this year, where we took the top 40 players, separated them to 4 teams, and they played at George Mason University, and that was phenomenal. See that level of camaraderie, see the level of players getting to play. Like, you see the best players are all on the same team, and it's crazy. Like, there was no way to predict who was going to win. In beat baseball, you see the top 3 to 4 teams. It's almost like any sport. Top 3 to 4 teams, you know, kind of have an idea who are your favorites going into the World Series. But just the landscape is just remarkable competition. The athletes that are getting in, you're getting Paralympians, you're getting people who cross over multiple sports, because some people who have played, they've been blind their whole life, right? So this is something they've only known how to play beat baseball. It's the only sport they've known. In some cases, you're giving the sport of baseball back to somebody because they've lost their vision later in life and they thought, hey, I'm not going to be in a dugout. I'm not going to be able to make, you know, do anything again with playing baseball. And this gives them their way back in and they just get rejuvenated and excited. That's why I talk about the stories you get to see from beat baseball.
Well, get into that, Jason, because you've told me some amazing stories and some of that, because I think that's, like you said, the stories, and you have an amazing inspirational players that you told me about and how it changed their lives. So can you get deeper into some of maybe your stories that you've told me? Because I thought that was the life-changing and what it means to give people purpose playing sports.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I think that's the thing that I found out the most. Of course, we talk about, I love athleticism. I love, you know, sports. But I think the thing we forget about from sports, too, is it gives us so much from a social standpoint.
Yep.
Like, even, you know, you coach a youth sports team, or you talk about those
100%.
Youth teams, that's their best friends growing up, and they stay with it. So, beat baseball is the same. So, some guys, like, I tell the story about Ethan Johnston. He's one of the players in the Gateway Archers. He's a Hall of Famer. Just got inducted to the Hall of Fame. But Hall of Famers can still play. He's still active. Still one of the better players in the league. Ethan's originally from Ethiopia. He was born there. He did not lose his vision due to degenerative eye disease. He was someone who thought, hey, Ethan, we instead of making Ethan, you know, giving him a better education, they decided, hey, we're going to make Ethan into a beggar, and they poured acid in his eyes.
Oh, my God.
That's how he lost his vision. But I tell people this all the time. If you meet Ethan, Ethan is one of the most positive people you'll ever meet in life. Like, one of my favorite people, one of my son's favorite people. He loves beatball just because he can hang out with Ethan. And he's 9. And he, you know, this is what he is able to get from him. But Ethan says beatball is his therapy. You know, that's what he uses as his therapy. Wow. And what he helps get through. Even a guy who I give a lot of credit to introducing us to the national level, or getting us on his part, Chad Dillon, who plays now for the Oklahoma team. But Chad was one who said, hey, man, like, you know, why don't we have a team from St. Louis? He's instrumental in starting the Gateway Archers. Chad made bases for Beat Baseball as a Boy Scout project when he was 16 years old. He had no vision issues at this time. And actually now is one of he hosts a podcast about Beat Baseball. He's one of the better players. He, in that All-Star game, he was the player coach for the team that won. So he talks about beatball's giving him a lot of purpose and a lot of focus and things like that. So you just have the stories of camaraderie, and if players are on different teams, they go to war. Trust me, there's going to be trash talk. There's going to be all that, but they're still a community. Like, I see guys who are in fantasy football leagues together, guys who go on trips together. They may be in the same team, maybe on different teams. But I think the biggest part that I like about the sport is community, even for me. I say I can go to any city. Most times I'm going on trips, either sometimes to my wife's chagrin with my family, but I'm going to interact with someone from the Beat Baseball community probably on that trip. Like, whether I'm in San Diego, whether I'm in Philadelphia. Philly's a little tough. They beat us in the World Series last year in 24, so I'm still having a little hard time with them a little bit. But, you know, we get along all together, and I that's what I enjoy. Everybody's looking out for the betterment of the sport, and that's why it's been able to move so far in the past 3 to 4 years. Everybody's kind of on the up and up and seeing new ways we can grow the sport, new ways we can get more people active, new ways we can promote the sport. And it's got the ceiling. We haven't hit it yet. So we're still marching towards it.
Jason, I want to go back and talk about Ethan a little bit more, because I think this is a fascinating story. And I'm actually, I got emotional when you were talking about that. So Ethan is a guy who was attacked, and he was victimized when he was a kid, comes over and becomes a Hall of Famer in this sport. Tell me about him on the field. Tell me about when you talk about him being a Hall of Famer, what sets him apart as a player?
It's so much of his. So I'm going to give you a little bit of one of the things that makes Ethan successful as a hitter. So this is why it changed a little bit not really changes too much from baseball, but we talk about launch angle, right? Launch angle is the key for baseball. We always talk about, man, a launch angle, you know, but Beat Baseball is kind of the same. If I hit the ball in the air, I can lift the ball in the air no matter how far it goes. That ball hangs up 3 to 4 seconds, and I can run a 5-second base, but my chance of getting to the base are very high. So Ethan's been able to have a pretty good launch angle swing. He's pretty fast, but also what makes him really good, Ethan can play defensively anywhere in the league. Anywhere you put him, he's going to win defensive awards and rack up on them. There's 3 levels typically in Beat Baseball. You have your front short guys who play about 90 feet from the ball or from home plate. Then you got your mid-tier guys who are about 140 or about 125 to 140. And then you got your guys who play deep to your 140 to 170 range. And Ethan has won defensive awards in all 3 categories.
Let me ask you about Ethan. I want to talk a little bit about his personality. Would you say Ethan is naturally athletic inclined, or see somebody that's truly determined to be great at what he does and puts in the work and like wants to be successful?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, he's a natural athlete. He, even as a kid, so when he got here, he was adopted. He lived in a small town in rural Missouri, kind of near Columbia, Missouri. You know, he had a family that played sports. He usually talks about he used to play soccer. He used to play soccer, try to play with sighted people. You know, he was determined, you know, because that was a big sport. And he didn't really find out about beatball till later. But he's one of those people who also puts in the work, also puts in the time. I say that for a lot of our guys in our team. Like, this is not just a hobby to a lot of them. A lot of them treat this like it's a full-time job. Like we have a strength and conditioning coach. Our strength and conditioning coach is the world's strongest blind man.
Wow.
He just won that award in England, but he helps our team. He doesn't play yet. I haven't got him to do that yet. I'm trying. I'm like, dude, you just basically flick your wrist with the bat. It's going to go fly, 170 feet. But we're working, but he helps our players with their diets. They're putting on weight, or losing weight, whatever they need to do before the season. He's helping them because he gives them workouts that are designed for at home or the gym, but also designed for someone who's going through those things who are visually impaired. So he's able to, hey, I know what you're probably going through when you go to a gym of navigating. So here's how you get to, here's the equipment and kind of the things you need to do there. So it's good to have that perspective from someone who's actually going through the same thing as our athletes. Our beatball players. And you see a lot of guys, like I always say, Mark Morris is our sports Kobe Bryant. I'm always saying Mamba mentality. He's a guy who's constantly working. Sometimes I tell him too much, like, just take a break. But he's constantly putting the work, and he's evolved as a player. When he came to our team, he was known as a defensive player. But the last couple of years, he's been able to be in the defensive or offensive all-star teams too as well. So it's constant work that he's doing. And you see something he's – first, I speak for our team. And I know there's a lot of guys around the league, but I just see so much work. We start practice in January. We don't play a game until April. No. We'll start in January indoors for hitting.
Now, Jason –
you guys are dogs, man. I love this. What you're doing is – fascinating, man. This is incredible stuff. Go ahead.
I want to make sure that we get this because I know as we get closer to the end here, I think one of the things that Jason and I talked about, because we met at a Vision Serve conference and, we talked a lot about accessibility and what beatball, does for people and the independence. And what I was really shocked is just how expensive accessible sports is. So something just to start to talk about. And I was just recently at a Walmart accessibility summit, and we talked about a lot of the products that they're actually creating internally at Walmart on their own is to make something accessible. We talked about shoes. They're making accessible shoes for $30. So talk to, one of the things that I thought was interesting is you talked about throughout the country, sometimes it's hard to get, teams together in smaller communities. Beatballs are expensive. You could talk more about the price. And then if they lose the balls, then you got to go and pay more money to do that. And then it takes months to receive them. So I just want to make this because I think accessible sports is something as we talk about, sports, we found that, if you played sports, it was such an influence on all of our lives and teaching us how to be team players at office or those type of things. Yeah. But I would love for you to just shed a light on this accessible sport, what it costs, and what are some of the barriers to keeping blind people or people with vision loss out of the sport because of the cost.
I think your biggest barrier to our sports, you kind of alluded to, is equipment and technology, because I think the same equipment has been used since the start of this world. Now, this year, going into 2026, is the 50th anniversary of the sport. Wow. So you're using the same kind of ball technology, and it works. But as you know, every sport, you got to be innovative. So if I go, I can't go to Dick's Sporting Goods. I can't go anywhere to go purchase a ball if I lose it. So if I purchase a beat ball for $40, which is typically how much they cost, and that ball could last me maybe a whole game, or I could actually, in that first pitch, that batter could tee it up, hit it right on the speaker, and we are ball game over. I mean, of course, you have more balls, but that's kind of the difficulty of the sport. So you have some teams who do have resources, can order a large amount of balls, but you have some teams that have 10 balls to last them through the whole season.
And that's it.
For practice. And, they go through those 10. And then also, as Isaac alluded to, there's only two manufacturers. And also for the manufacturers, the trouble is that most of the shells that are used for beat baseballs, which is a 16-inch Chicago softball, basically the core of the shell of it, comes from basically China, and it takes about 4 to 5 months for your shells to get here. So it's not you can just make a quick fix and say, hey, I'm gonna order a bunch of shells, make some balls. It's a process. And once you run out, you got to do the same thing. And it's expensive. Like I said, $40 per ball, $400, that's $400 for 10 balls. For some teams, their budget to get to the World Series is about $7,000 for each team to kind of participate, 7 to 10. So if their budget is $12,000, they don't have a lot of money to spend on balls. So, that's the biggest hurdle in growing new teams, getting new teams, even getting support, because we have blind schools who want to be involved and get that at the school, but getting equipment is sometimes a hurdle. So that's the biggest thing. We need innovators to look at the equipment that we have, whether it's the bases, the balls, and say, hey, what can we do next? What can we do to make this stuff easily manufactured so we can get more stuff out to the community, also cheaper and also more durable? And I know the people who are making it are trying, so I don't want to, you know, want to give them kudos for keeping up and trying to keep the demand and keep the quality improving. But yeah, there's got to be more into the frame. You know, the more the better, the more people helping out this situation creates a better landscape for the sport.
How much does a regular baseball cost, real quick? Sorry. How much does a regular baseball cost? Just curious.
Like $3.
Whoa.
Sometimes not even if you go to play it against sports, you can afford like $1.
Yeah.
$1 per ball in a bucket.
Yeah. Wow. Or also you could just go to you can go to your local little league field and just go to the bushes and just grab one.
Find them.
I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're really desperate. No, the truth of the matter is, if you were a kid and you want to go play catch with your buddies and you can't afford a baseball, you can go to a little league field and you can go dig around. Yeah. And you can find a baseball. You can't find a beat ball. That's the fact of the matter.
If you find it, it's going to be a dead ball. So you can do some pitching and hitting practice, but you probably won't even find those because even those are gold. You know, when you have them, you try to keep those on you too.
So Jason, if someone's watching this right now and they're moved as we are and they want to help and they say, okay, we want to donate, we want to help, we want to contribute, we want to figure out a way to help the beatball community, what's the best way for them to do that?
I think there's two ways. I know some people are more locally inclined. So if you have a team in your community and you look up and say, hey, I'm in Philly, I want to support the BSL Philly Fire. They're a great organization, great team. Even though I'm still bitter they beat us in the World Series, they're still good people. There's ways to support them. You can go out and there's websites to show the support. If you want to go from the national perspective, as I've been really preaching, this game's been around for 50 years. There's people like me who have just now entered. There's people who have been playing this thing been involved almost the entirety of the 50 years of this league. I said, for us to get to the next 50 years, we need more people supporting. So I would say if someone's like, hey, I want support, have about $50 to support the next 50 years of this league, something of that through the NBBA.org website. And there's a donate button there. So I think just keeping the game going, support, even just to host the World Series from a logistical standpoint, something we did in 24 and 25. I can tell you the host it costs about $60,000 to $70,000 just to host the World Series. Mm. So even if there's cities, entities, I mean, we were one of the first non-cities to host the World Series, being Mines already on Lighthouse for Blind St. Louis in quite some time. Ask what it takes to host a beat baseball event. That's also something that someone can get involved in and help out with too, or even host the World Series. I think just getting those opportunities, making sure people have places to play, times to play, equipment to play is essential, because this sport does more than just provide an athletic background for people, and it provides social gathering. I've seen guys help each other get jobs and things of that nature. So just it provides more than just a sport.
Absolutely.
All right, so Jason, so in addition to promoting that, and hopefully people are gonna do that, do me a favor. I imagine you have videos of people, like highlight videos of people like Ethan and other people on your team that are dominating. Can you send them to us? Can you send them to me? I want to help create some highlight footage, videos and social clips of these guys that we can help put out there, because I feel like they deserve. Hall of Famers like Ethan, who have amazing stories, deserve to get some love. And we're going to put them in front of other pro baseball players and other athletes so they can get some of the recognition they deserve. So can you send us some highlights of these players?
I definitely can do that. We have plenty. I'll send you some videos, some hype videos, all types of stuff we got. So we'll get those.
There you go.
We'll do our part to spread the word and send the message out there. And this is a sport. If you're listening, you're watching this, support beat baseball. This is an amazing thing. Jason, what you're doing, I'm so moved, man. Shows like this, conversations like this, I don't know if you could tell, I'm fired up right now. I think what you're doing, I think you're a special person. I think what you're doing is incredible. I think you are I think you are changing lives. I think that you are helping so many people and so many families and so many communities by doing what you're doing. And beatball is important, man. So I think sports is important for everybody. and you are helping everybody. And this is so great. And I can't wait to be more invested and to learn more about these players and more about the sport. So thank you for joining us and telling us about this today. And Isaac, thank you for bringing this to my attention, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Much love for what you do. I love it. I appreciate it.
Now, I want to give, before I go here, I want to give you guys a special invite. It's going to be some time, but I want you guys to, I know you guys are mainly on the east side, the east coast of things. So next year, or 2026, it's also an announcement. We're going to host the Ultimate Beat Baseball Tournament, which is our all-star event again in 2026 at George Mason, October 1st through the 3rd. Hey, you guys can try some beatball yourself and actually just get to see all the amazing athletes at the same time. So
let's go. Let's go. Let's do this.
Come on down.
Thank you for the
let's do it. I'm going to try. I'm going to embarrass myself, but I'll come out there and try to hit a beatball. It's not going to go well for me, but I will try.
Yeah, just blame the pitcher if you don't hit it. It's always a pitcher.
There you go. Thank you, Jason.
That's right. Everybody, thank you for watching the show. We appreciate you. We appreciate your support. Remember, if you like the show, the best thing you can do is tell somebody to tell somebody. Like, subscribe, comment, share. Do all the stuff. Driven by Purpose. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time. Thanks again.